Thanks, Anthony. My name's Doug. I am an alcoholic. And I'm going to set my timer because Susan has mentioned several times that I shouldn't go over. God forbid. I don't even know where the clock is on this thing. There it is. That took a minute. All right. Again, my name's Doug. I am an alcoholic. I live in Cayucas. I am really grateful to be here. Raina, thank you so much for asking me. And to everyone who has service in this meeting and in Alcoholics Anonymous, you have my utmost respect and gratitude. 10% of the people do 90% of the work in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a huge fan and advocate for service, and I just wanted to make that pitch. So if there's anyone here who is not in a service position, I would strongly encourage that. My sobriety date's August 26, 2009. My sponsor's name is Roger A. of Morro Bay. My home group is the Sunday 11th Step meeting in Morro Bay. Like I said, I do have a number of service positions. With 10 minutes, I don't have a lot of time to embellish, so I want to just get to kind of the nuts and bolts of my story. When I was born into an 80-proof gene pool. Everybody in my family drank to a greater extent, mostly. I can't say that any of them are alcoholic, except for my mom and my sister, both of whom are sober today. And one of them works a program, and the other one tends to manage on her own steam. And God bless her. I couldn't do it that way. And I'm grateful I landed in Alcoholics Anonymous. So what it was like for me was I started early. My parents were young. There was always alcohol around. It always looked good to me. I never saw anybody get in a fight or go to jail. Just a lot of, intoxicated falderol, just fun. You know, everybody, it would seem like everybody was having a good time. You know, once in a while, there'd be a trip to the emergency room. Somebody would fall and split their head open. You know, but that was always, all in the name of fun, right? And so I was attracted to it. Well, actually, I can't say I was attracted to it. There was never anything that looked like it was a bad deal. And I had my first sip of beer when I was 5. I first smoked my first joint when I was 12. And then by the time I was in my late teens, I would do it at every opportunity. And even though I had no idea what alcoholism was, what it looked like, and any of the ramifications from it, I had pretty much an incredible tolerance for liquor. It was way up there, and I'm sure most of you understand what that was like at some point. Last man standing kind of thing. And then ultimately it led to first man stumbling. And that turned out to be me. And I had a number of interactions with law enforcement. All of it was alcohol induced. And by the time I was in my early 20s, I had developed the habit severely. And it was still a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. If you didn't have any fun with your drinking, I'm sorry. That's not my story. I had good times for a long time. But as the three distinct phases of alcoholism, there's the fun phase, and then there's the fun plus problems phase, and then just problems. And for me, that fun and problems phase lasted about 30 years. And for me, it was all about denial and rationalization. Everything that happened as a result of my drinking, good, bad, or indifferent, was always expendable in that alcohol was always my first relationship. It took priority over everything. It drove all my decision making, where I worked, where I lived, and who I associated with. And anything that got in the way of that was either lied to, circumnavigated, or eliminated altogether. And if there was a price tag that came along with it, in other words, you know, lawyers' fees, time in jail, fines, whatever, termination of employment, giving up the house, the end of a marriage, all of that was expendable because it was getting in the way with my drinking. And I say it that way because that was my experience. That's exactly what happened. And by the time I was ready for recovery, I was so sick I didn't even know I was ready. And ultimately what happened was my family betrayed me. They called in the interventionist. And at I woke up one morning at their house after a night of drinking. I was easily maneuvered there. And they had a full liquor cabinet. Why wouldn't I go there? And I was pouring a cup of coffee, and my stepdad comes into the room and said, "Hey, your brother's in the living room." I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of strange. He lives in Templeton, and he was here just last night." And I was being awkwardly ushered into the living room, was shaking hands with a woman I'd never met before. And I kind of like, this looks like an intervention. And he said, "Yeah, something like that." And this was my experience. This is how I felt. I just went, whew. You know how that feeling when you take your first drink and you just relax from the follicles on your head to the toenails? It kind of felt like that. And that was my first surrender. And internally, even though I didn't hear a voice or words, or the thought was, thank God it's finally over. I just didn't have any fight left, and it seems as though the celestial bodies were lined up in such a way that I just didn't have any fight left. And so I experienced what was being presented, and what happened is I ended up in a 12-step friendly treatment facility down in Long Beach. And it was there that I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in a way that my heart hurt. You know, I'd carried court cards before, and I wanted nothing that you said, nothing that you had. And but by now, I had some willingness, and I really, that was it for me. I had the gift of willingness. I really didn't ever have the gift of desperation, because desperation to me means hopelessness. I was never hopeless. Now, I certainly was a victim. You know, if things were different, my life would be better. But as far as hopeless, no. But I was willing. I was willing. And I remember one of the first meetings that I went to in the house there. The guys were sharing, and I was laughing hysterically, and I was sobbing uncontrollably at the same time. And I was sure I was insane. I was sure I was going into a padded room. But after the meeting, what happened was, is a guy put his arm around me. He said, "Doug, I know exactly how you feel. I have felt exactly the way you're feeling." And that was the hook for me. Somebody related to not anything that I said, but the way I was feeling. And that mattered. If you're new tonight or coming back, yes, it's a feeling thing. There's no amount of intellectual power that can get me sober. It has to be something that I feel on the inside. At least it does for me. So that's what happened. And then I was given a bunch of literature, as they often do. And on my fourth night there, I came to something that read vaguely, if you haven't prayed in a while, it might be a good idea. And I hadn't prayed since I was a boy. And so what I did was I took out a rote prayer. I put it on the bed. I knelt by the side of the bed because that's the way I did it as a boy. I looked over both shoulders, making sure that nobody was watching. And I said a prayer that I had absolutely no belief in. And I woke up in the morning and I felt different. Then I got busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've stayed busy ever since. I started volunteering right away. I got a sponsor right away. I started working the steps right away. And because of that prayer, I started practicing prayer and meditation. And they told me, of the steps, the 11th step isn't one that you have to wait to get to. Do it as soon as you're ready, Doug. And I did. And today, as I mentioned, my home group is an 11th step meeting. And I have a host of friends. I have a life. I can't say it's beyond my wildest imagination because I have a wild imagination. But it's certainly one that I approve of. And when I look in the mirror, I have approval and a feeling of self that I never had before. I'm really grateful to be here with a bunch of friends, and some I have not met and many I have. And I can hardly wait for our 45-minute speaker. And thank you for letting me share.
Let's give Doug another round.